I'm Jody Weitz, results and success coach, and these podcasts teach you how to make significant changes to live your dreams, make a positive impact on the world, and drop your regrets. It's time for you to get spectacular. Welcome back to Your Spectacular Life. I'm Jody Weitz, and I am your professional coach, making sure your life is nothing short of spectacular. I'm here with Bill Goodwin. Hi, Bill.
Jody, hello. Welcome. Thanks for welcoming to your podcast.
You know, it is so great to have you here. I'm really looking forward to our discussion. And let me tell you something about Bill. Bill Goodwin has over 30 years of leadership experience in growing and building individuals and teams with proven leadership training and dynamic speaking for growth. As a Maxwell Leadership Executive Team member, Bill is a speaker, leadership coach, and author. He is also the founder of Priority Living Consulting Group. His new book, Priority Living, Seven Pillars to Make Your Life Count, derives from the backstory on November 23rd, 1999, when he experienced respiratory failure and died. Being given a second chance has changed his life, and the full story could change you too. And I'm going to say, wow, reading it. And you know, just listening to that just really blows me away. And we are going to start with that story because we've got to get that out and find out what happened, Bill.
Yeah, well, Jody, we're jumping right into the deep end of the pool with sharing that as part of my backstory here. November 23rd, 1999 was a Tuesday. Happened to be 2 days before Thanksgiving, and I was headed to work that morning on the way, taking our family dog at the time to the groomers. I didn't typically do that because I had some asthma and allergies growing up. So my wife would often do that, but I thought, no big deal. It'll take me just a minute. I'll just drop the dog off. Well, I went in, and there was a line of people there also dropping their furry pets off, and yeah. I waited a little bit longer, and sure enough, started to have asthma-like symptoms. I walked out of the groomers to my car, grabbed a rescue inhaler, tried to get some relief. I was now starting to panic because I wasn't getting the relief that I had needed, and so I wasn't sure what to do. But Jody, instead of going to work that day, I drove home about a mile to grab a nebulizer machine to take a treatment.
Yeah.
And so as I pulled into my driveway panicking, this was a very intense asthma attack that really had caught me off guard by surprise. And so I went in through my garage door into my home, and I remember just desperately with the little air I had left, I just cried out a prayer out loud. I just said, Jesus, help me, Jesus. And my world was starting to spin, and things were not going well for me. I grabbed that nebulizer solution, saline, and was there on my family room floor gasping for air as I tried to breathe through that. Again, continuing to see my world spinning and panicking, I called out to my daughter, who was on a school break for Thanksgiving, to call 911. My wife happened to be out running an errand at the time. And so my daughter called 911. And within just a few moments, probably less than 4 minutes, the paramedics had arrived. And as they came in, I said, help me. I can't breathe. I can't breathe. Yeah. And they gave me a mask to put over my nose and mouth. It said it was more, you know, it'll help me better than what I had. And Jody, within just a few moments, within, you know, 30 seconds, I blacked out in my family room. And yeah, it was a scary time. And I don't remember being taken in the ambulance. to the hospital. I do not remember being in the ER, which I was, before I woke up 9.5 hours later from that incident in my family
My
room
goodness.
in ICU,
Yeah.
intubated with my hands strapped to to the sides of the bed because I had become combative. And I guess I had
My
learned that
goodness.
that's what happens when you can't breathe and they're trying to care for you. They were trying to put tubes on my nose to get air. So what I had learned after this whole encounter that I'm telling you about was that when I was in the ER, I'd already blacked out in my family room, but when I was in the ER, I had lost bodily function and I had coded there in the ER. I was told there were six medical team trying to care for me, trying to hold me down just to do the procedure to get air into my lungs. And then I was put in, they revived me after I had died. And then I was put into a medical induced coma state where I was on 100% respirator for a period of time and had not known any of this in my natural state was taking place. But what I share in the book that I wrote as well is that I do know what happened in the, I'll call it the supernatural state, because in a moment of time when I had blacked out, my life, as you hear it said, it happened, my life passed before my eyes, or before my consciousness, and I had this thought so distinctly, Jody, I'm going to die, and there's nothing I can do about it. And at the moment I had the thought, I'm going to die, and there's nothing I can do about it. The only way I could best describe it is my spirit left my body.
My
And
goodness.
so I won't get into the full details of it. Maybe somebody wants to read it in my book, but I had an afterlife experience, and I had a full encounter in what we would call heaven, and before I was resuscitated. And so that is a pivotal moment, life-changing for me, of course. And since that time, I've been all the more intentional that I want to make my life count. I've been given a second chance and I want to make my life count. Now, I know that you don't have to die and be resuscitated to want to make your life count. We all want to make our life count, but I've been all the more intentional because of that
Well,
experience.
that is a remarkable story. First of all, the way you went through it, the 9.5 hours, and the experience in the supernatural. And from what I have read, you're given a choice. You're usually guided by someone you know. I don't know if you remember any of that, but you're given a choice because if you do choose to come back, you are supposed to help people in a certain way, and you're not ready. Your time isn't ready on Earth. Tell me a little bit about getting into that supernatural, and if that thought occurred at any time.
Well, there's even more, I guess, to the backstory that plays into this, and that is also part of answering your question, Jody. And that is, so my wife was widowed at the young age of 26, with two small children, and her first husband, his name was Dave, was killed in an accident at work unexpectedly. And so, isn't it interesting that I had this experience. Matter of fact, there were many of the events that played out that, if you heard my wife's side of it, that were similar to her showing up and seeing that I was in an ambulance and she couldn't see me, was in the hospital waiting for information. She was in the little chapel there waiting for the doctor to come. It just was very reminiscent of what she had previously gone through when she had learned that her first husband didn't make it. And so there were a lot of these things playing out, but for me, I was in this my spirit had left my body, and it's quite lengthy to explain it, but I'll just give you one piece of it here. in that afterlife experience, I just want everyone to hear my experience in that we truly are, as the great quote is, that we are spiritual beings having a human experience, not a human being having a spiritual experience.
Wow.
And so my spirit leaves my body. That is the essence of who we all are. It's our spirit. And so with your spirit, friend, you can see with your eyes, you can hear with your ears, you can speak with your mouth. You don't have your physical state, but you are your spirit. And so when I was in heaven, in addition to the glorious angels that I saw, thousands upon thousands of angels, the intense bright light of heaven, and in the distance by those angels, I saw Jesus Christ, in a white robe, coming towards me. So this plays up without getting into all the details of my encounter. I know somebody's listening going, I have to read this. I have to hear what this guy saw. But Jesus spoke to me. And so it wasn't my choice. It was his choice. He said to me, I said to him, take care of Carla. My first words were, take care of Carla. Now, it could be because she's my wife, but it could be because she'd already gone through this once.
Absolutely, yeah.
And that's why I wanted to share that part of our story. But the other piece, Jody, was that Jesus spoke to me and he said, no, it's not your time. He said some more things to me as well, but he said, it's not your time. And so at that moment, I knew that my glimpse of eternity, my glimpse of heaven was just that, because I would be returning to my physical state. And like you said, there's more for me to do while I'm here on this earth.
And what again, well, again, an amazing story, an amazing experience. And, it really lets me know that our physical body and our spirit are gifts. I mean,
Yes.
just beautiful gifts. And these are really things that we can't take for granted. We have to care for physical health, for mental health, for spiritual health, because it is a beautiful thing that, again, we get to have on earth, and we get to help people in the best sense of the word. And coming out of that, and again, maybe after you left the hospital and kind of came back, what was on your mind to know what were going to be the next steps in your life?
Well, obviously, it was a bit overwhelming to realize that when I did come home from the hospital 2 days later, which was Thanksgiving Day, I had much to be grateful for, much more than, things I could take for granted. And I also realized that it was a bit overwhelming to think that my family could have been planning my funeral, and that at 28 years of age, that would have been all my time on earth would have. So, very, very, very grateful. It wasn't an immediate thing, but it was definitely something, as I reflected on that experience, that I began to think, how do I make my life count? I'm not guaranteed that if this happens or something happens, that I'll get the opportunity to be back to return. So, I began to think through things like purpose, like what is my purpose? How do you discover purpose? I do believe that we all are born with a purpose and that we need to discover our purpose. I love Mark Twain's great quote that says, the two greatest days of your life were the day you were born and the day you discover why.
Ooh,
And so
I like
that's
that.
all about our purpose. And so I realized that, that's a quest that I will be on, is unpacking what is my purpose. Does purpose change throughout the course of our life? I've come to believe personally that it does. There's an overarching direction for our life, but there's different ways. Maybe not your purpose changes, but the way that you fulfill your purpose changes in different stages and seasons of life. And so that's been a part of it. And then personal growth and spiritual growth and, just personal development has been ever on the forefront of my mind and in my life, even prior to this experience back when I was a teenager, being introduced by one of my uncles to cassette tapes back in the 80s of Zig Ziglar and books of Og Mandino and these great personal development people. And so, we have to grow ourselves to know ourselves. Most people, Jody, accept their lives. They don't lead their lives. And so, in order to make the most of my life, make my life count, I need to be a person of personal development, personal growth. And so, over time, over these decades, I began living these things that then more recently I've realized this is a framework that I call priority living. And these seven things that I'm very intentional about are now what I call pillars. And these seven pillars make up the framework of priority living. And then these pillars are built on a foundation. And all of us build our life on some type of a foundation. For me, I'm a person of faith, so mine is built on my faith. But all of us build our life on whatever foundation of values that we have that we've adopted into our life. So anyway, that's what's built this life for me. And I felt like it's really time now after decades of living it. It's not theory. How do I share this with others so that they may consider how is their life going? Are they making their life count? And maybe these pillars could be beneficial for someone else as they begin to learn what I call priority living.
Great. And thank you, by the way. I know your book, is based on these foundations and priorities. Why priorities? Why do you call them priorities?
Yeah, it's interesting when you look at the definition. We really can't have multiple priorities. That's actually an oxymoron. If it's a priority, it's the top of the list. It's the most important thing. That's your priority. Excuse me. So, but for me, these pillars are something that makes up the combination of them. Or the merging together of them brings together clarity for me that I live a life of priority. So, yeah, I think priority gives clarity, and clarity is what precedes peace, and clarity is what precedes success. Now, my book isn't really about success from the standpoint of the definition somebody might have of wealth and riches and popularity or whatever. In the book, though, we do talk a little bit about success, having the reader unpack what does success look like for you. But for me, priority living is something that you don't arrive at. It's just something that you chip away at day after day of being intentional about the way that you live your life.
Yeah, and really, you hit the mark when you said we all have values. We all have these values that make up our foundation. And when we're living those values, I'm going to say we are successful, we are happy, we are living who we are authentically. When we're not living those values is when we do run into trouble, we start thinking negatively of things, we start maybe not treating others well. It leads down that dark road. So, Bill, I am curious if you don't mind just stating the titles or the areas of these seven priorities, because I really do want people to pick up your book and to really read in depth so they can get it, so they can get a deeper meaning of what is going on. So let's list them out, 1 through 7.
Let's do that. So pillar number one is purpose, and purpose turns passions into impact. So the first pillar is purpose. Like I said, purpose is discovered. I believe this definition that the Purpose Company out of Dallas is given to define purpose. Purpose is the best of what you have to give others. Purpose is the best of what you have to help others. So anyway, I have 10 questions in the first chapter about purpose to
Great.
help the reader begin to self-reflect and examine what's my purpose and am I living my purpose, or are there some course corrections in this stage of my life in order to live my purpose? Because purpose is the best of what we have to give others. And in return for when we're giving the best of what we have for others, Jody, we receive something called fulfillment. And fulfillment is actually what we're looking for. We're like, I need those endorphins to go off in my brain, and that feeling of like, oh, I'm doing what I was born to do, or I'm in my sweet spot, you know, that type of thing. And so yes, the first pillar and the first chapter in the book is all about purpose. And again, there's 10 questions to help the reader begin to get clarity on their purpose.
Yeah, let's do number two. And I want
Sure.
people to buy your book, so I want you to shorten those the explanation,
Oh,
because
sure, absolutely. Well, the num
I want them to go out and get it right now on Amazon. But
Well,
yeah, what's
you and
number
me
two?
both.
Yeah. Have
Two is growth. It's all about personal extensively. As you read in my bio, I'm being one of my great mentors is leadership expert John C. Maxwell. And John is all about personal development. And I've been involved in this personal development space longer than I've known John, but it's definitely something that I outline as a pillar for living a life of priorities. Number three is impact. We all want to make an impact. We want to make a difference with people who make a difference at a time that makes a difference in a way that makes a difference. And so we look at the third pillar is impact. The fourth pillar is rhythm. It's kind of an interesting one. Rhythm is all about the pace of life, Jody. I believe that a lot of people are going nowhere fast. Direction is more important than speed. So getting clarity on your purpose and growing yourself so you have something to contribute to the world, in other words, then being able to make an impact in other people's lives, then we live a life of rhythm where we are in the right pacing of life. And I unpack that. Actually, in that chapter, I share a time in my life and career where I reached complete burnout, I hit a wall, and that's when I had the wake-up call that I need to learn how to pace myself. And so that's the pillar of rhythm. Then we move to the pillar of explore. I believe that life is to be an adventure, that all of the countries and cultures and people groups and variety of things in this earth are to be enjoyed and taken in, and we're to have fun along the way. There are times where I can get so focused on work, work, work that I'm missing out on the joys of the beauty around me in nature and the beauty around me of opportunities of things to encounter and to experience. So the next pillar is all on explore. And then we quickly move to connect. Connect is all about relationships. Again, I share a quote with you. Maya Angelou said that the quality of your life will be determined by the quality of your relationships. And so I fully believe that. And so I give a pyramid in that chapter on connect about how do we go from being a stranger with someone to becoming a close connected person in their life. And so we look at the ways that the steps in which we go through in order to move relationships from being strangers to being on different levels of connectivity. And then finally, we give the seventh pillar. I think I got all seven there for you. The seventh pillar is give. It's living a life of generosity. And it's not just about finance. It's about how we show up and how we lift others up and how we give and contribute. I want my portion of the world that I touch in my lifetime to be better off because I was here than had I not come back when I was 28. I want to make a difference in that way. So that's where give and generosity comes in, and wanting to make a difference through generosity. Success is what we gain for ourselves, if you will, but success, but significance is what we provide when we are lifting others up. We're all elevator people. We either are taking people up or we're bringing people down. And so that's all about giving and being generous. And so those are the makeup of the seven pillars. And then I have three more chapters of the book, and we get into how do you set priorities, and then we get into what's your foundation, and then we get into how to leave a legacy. So that's kind of the framework of the book that makes up priority living.
Boy, I love it. It's almost like you have really thought about what should be included in people's lives and what to think about and really clarify purpose and then move through it with all these other steps and priorities. So I want to say bravo, Bill, for
Thank you, Jody.
putting that together. That's great. Of all the seven priorities, which one are you most challenged by?
Well, I'm glad you asked that. I think I'm not much different than many other people. I like to say, I don't know if you're like me, but I know I am. And that takes a moment for a listener to pick up on that. I don't know if you're like me, but I know I am. I would say that what I'm most challenged by is the pillar on rhythm. And I'm a go, go, go people person. Sometimes I fall in the trap of being a human doing and not a human being. And I just want to take in all this wonderful life has to offer, this spectacular life, as you would say, has to
Absolutely.
offer. And so I just I have to be intentional about living a life of rhythm so that I'm just not all expending every bit of energy that I also need to replenish myself, and so that I have something to give to others. And so I'll just mention one other comment about that. I quote a gentleman, his name's Mike Breen, in that chapter, who has this a mindset and model of living where he says we are to work from rest, not rest from work. And so for me, I get that mixed up a lot. I get going so much. It's like, oh, I need to take a break from all my work versus being out of a place in a reservoir of replenished rest and soul care and health care that then I can give out of that overflow and live that life of rhythm. So I'm constantly working on all seven pillars, but that's the one that you asked that I work on most intently because I just need that rhythm in my life.
Rhythm is one of the things I deal with clients and myself. And I like, making sure that I am rested and others are rested because it really makes a difference in your day. It makes a difference in your attitude. It makes a difference on how you relate to others, of how rested you are, whether you can be present with them because you're not thinking of the next six steps in your mind. What have I got to do? What's on my list? So you really can automatically boost your personal growth just by scheduling in enough rest in your day, which is great. What I want you to do next, Bill, is I really want you to tell people how they can get a copy of your book, Priority Living, Seven Pillars to Make Your Life Count.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for that. The quickest, easiest way is you can go to my website, which is prioritylivingcg.com. That stands for Priority Living Consulting Group.com. Or you can use the URL prioritylivingbook.com. It'll actually take you to the same place. And on the homepage there, you'll see the book. You'll also see where you can get a download, a free one chapter of the book to check it out. If you fill out that information there on the homepage. And from there, there's also a link to Amazon. So you can search it on Amazon under my name and Priority Living seven pillars to make your life count. So that would be the recommended ways that you could get a copy in your hands. It is available in an e-book, a paperback, and a hard copy. Lord willing, someday I'll do the audio version as well for
You
Audible,
should.
but
You have a great voice.
oh, thank you. So that's where you can find the book, PriorityLivingBook.com.
Great. Well, I love hearing about what you've created. It's fascinating and amazing with that story. Goosebump territory there. And I want to thank you for your time, Bill. It's been a real pleasure having you on the show. I'm sure my listeners feel the same way.
Well, thank you for having me. It's been a real joy. And as a leadership coach, and I love helping people unpack their purpose and help them become more successful in their business as well. So, just really an honor to be with you today, Jody. Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you. And you have a great day, and it's been a great discussion. I'm so grateful that you've listened to the end of this podcast. Please subscribe, rate, and review it, and share it with your friends. I love teaching insights so that you can have a more impactful and meaningful life. It's my mission to build a thriving community of happy, fulfilled people. Want more? Visit my website at yourspectacularlife.com.